Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1166. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me all the way from the other side of the world, the one and only Heat Rock. Peter, what's up, man? What's up, Pete?
What's up, dude? How you doing, Danny?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. How's everything over there, man? How's the weather?
Doing fantastic. Today's been a little cloudy, but I mean, I have my watch on. I guess it's what, like 45-50 degrees outside. It's summer's gone. Summer has decided it's going on vacation next year. So yeah, it's back down to nice cooler weather. It's hoodie weather. It's fantastic.
That's good. Life is good. Yeah, man. So yeah, man, it's been great. It's been great. Thank you everyone for watching and also listening to the podcast for like the past few weeks. It's been kind of crazy for all of us, man. We haven't recorded a show with us three in a while because everybody's just been busy every week. You know, Paris right now, he's actually at the Bucks and Rams game today. So he's there. He's actually here in LA, but I'm not going to see him at all. He's going to go right after the game to go back home. But hopefully we'll get to see each other soon, man. You know, so shout out to Paris, man. Shout out to Paris. By the way, P, I know you've been playing Halo Infinite. We definitely got to talk about all the new stuff from this time, the beta. I know the beta is going to come back later on today. New modes, I believe. I'm not sure because I've been out of the news for like the past couple of weeks, man. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to try to play the game. So if you're on, I would love to play with you, man. We could play some games.
I am planning on being on just after the show. As soon as we're done recording, I'll be jumping off to eat dinner. And then jumping back on around 1 o'clock central, so 12 or 11 your time.
Okay.
West Coast.
Yeah. All right. I'm down.
So if you're down, jump on in. I'm likely going to be streaming that as well just because it's more fun, right?
Yeah.
Get some more people out here. Definitely. Get a chance. I actually did that Friday night. Got a pretty decent response up on the channel. It was really good to just play the game for the first time after, you know, so many years. You know me, I'm not the biggest Halo person when it comes to online, but man,
you're on fire.
It was fun. The energy was there. The excitement was there because you're running around as a Spartan. It was a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
And it's been quite some time since I've legitimately had fun playing online multiplayer of Halo. Because for me personally, it's all about the single player campaign experience. But when you have the right group of people around you and everybody's on point communicating and, you know, playing as a team, it's that much more fun. So yeah, man, love to have you join us.
Yeah. I would love to do it, man. Love to do it. We'll figure that out
and
after the show.
Since it's cross platform, I mean, we had, you remember Devin, the King?
Yeah, I remember Devin. Yeah.
He joined up in the middle of us playing and he was like, boom. Next thing you know, boom. Instead of playing with a random, it was with four people. We could communicate. We could have fun. And it was a blast. It was a blast. And knowing that he was on console, and, you know, the three of us were on PC and seamless experience. My ping was even decent. Everybody had like a 50 ping and I had 90. I had like a 90 ping, you know, playing here in Switzerland. So the fact that the servers were working well that first night with everybody jumping on to hit it, it was a sight to see. It was a lot of fun.
Really good. Really, really, really cool, man. Awesome. So everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, or even post a review. It will help us out a lot if you could do that. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussions, which we have a couple voice messages we're going to play here on the podcast for this episode, stay tuned. So if you'd like to be part of fan mail, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. facebook.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. So first thing first, I have to talk about this, man, because, you know, we I haven't been on for the past couple of weeks. You know, I went on vacation, and also behind the scenes, I've been talking to Twitch because they want to be part of the Hispanic Heritage Month campaign. And I did a little video for them, and that went live. You could go to the official Twitter account. It's there. It's really, really cool. Really, really cool. And they was telling me they were also going to feature GTR on the front page of Twitch. I was like, yo, let's do it. You know, I did that. Actually, that day I was playing Hades for Xbox. I took over their Twitch channel, and 30 minutes after that, I did another one for GTR for our account on Twitch. And yeah, it was front page, man. It had like 1,000+ people watching. That was crazy. That was a lot of fun. And yeah, and I finished the game multiple times during the live stream, you know? So it was really cool. But the cool thing too, Twitch also put me on the billboard in Times Square, and that was an amazing experience. You know, I always wanted to do this ever since I started doing this with other creators. And the reason why I wanted to show that to my mom, and I posted it on Twitter, and we finally made it happen, man. You know, working with them, and it was really cool seeing the video and the picture that my mom sent me, that she was there in Times Square seeing it. That was, you know, the best feeling in the world, man. Super, super cool. But I went over there, Times Square, with my now fiance, Rihanna, and I went there with a couple of my friends too. And dude, that was the best feeling in the world seeing that over there, man. Because people don't know, I was there 20 years ago, man, for the launch of Xbox, you know, and it's going to be the 20th year in November, in a couple months. And seeing that, it reminded me when I got there with my tape recorder, just covering an event. It was like full circle, man. You know what I'm saying? So it was awesome. Really, really cool. And at the same time, showing love to all of my Latinos, Hispanos, you know, also especially Dominicans. I wanted that flag to be there, man, the Dominican flag, just to show that to everybody, you know what I'm saying, that if I could do it, they could do it too, man. So it was really cool. It was an honor doing that, man.
Absolutely. I mean, that's huge, right? To say, and you're so cute. You're wearing your little Xbox 20 shirt. It was funny. But, yeah. But to have that experience of being there at the onset, right? It's not just, you know, oh, I've just been doing this for 20 years. You were there basically at the beginning of it all with everybody. I mean, I know you've got that picture where it's you, your hairline, and Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, yeah.
But to be able to say that you've been doing this for 20 years is spectacular, regardless of what medium or what you're, you know, what it is you're doing. To do something for that extended period of time is fantastic. And to see it all come for, you know, full circle, you know, going there as a fan and now as a content creator. And then again, dude, seeing your face on the top, on a billboard in what could, you know, arguably be one of the biggest intersections in the world. Right. Mm-hmm. And then to top it all off, to have your mom there to see it as well. I mean, as a parent, there's no bigger highlight in your life than to see your son or daughter up in lights in the middle of something like that. So, I mean, I know your mom is super proud of it. I know Dan, I know Paris and I have said it, in the last, you know, I think last week on the show, and I think I said it on Friday on the stream. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're extremely proud of you and your accomplishments. And hell, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here doing the show with you. Paris obviously wouldn't have gotten into podcasting and done his things with Uncle Gamer and everything else. Obviously, joining us, you know, a few years later, it's we owe this, you know, to you. So, you know, thank you and congratulations.
Thanks a lot, man. And also thanks to everyone that had been sending me messages. It was hard to keep up, honestly, because I was all over the place, you know, traveling nonstop. I was in the Dominican Republic when the billboard went live. And then I came over here a couple of days later. I went straight to New York just to see the billboard. And then I was there only for 3 days, you know. But, it was amazing. And not only that, like now there's a new group of people from that other creators that are going to be in a billboard now for 10 days. So if any of y'all are over there in New York, just make sure to support and check it out, you know, support other creators. I think that's very important, very, very important. And I know there was one more thing I wanted to say, man. But yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. I'm kind of like, I'm trying to get used to this again, go back and record. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was really, really cool, man. And also, I have to mention this. My dad, he used to be a cab driver in New York City. Now he does that in Miami. But he was calling all his friends that are taxi drivers in New York. Go to Times Square. Go check it out, man. My son is there. He sent them like the video and pictures. That was awesome. It was really, really cool, man. Really, really cool. All right, so let's talk about Halo Infinite, Pete. I know you've been playing now for a couple of days, right? And I would like to know, because I've been traveling. The thing that I've been curious, what is it that is new now this time? What type of modes that is playable? And is it different than the previous one from the last time that the beta was out?
All right. So, you know, I think it was the beginning of August when they had their first flight, which is what Microsoft calls it. And that one was fun, but there was a lot less eyes on that one, right? Because it was for those that were already a part of the Halo Insider group, right? So it wasn't as public as today, you know, as this weekend's was. Mm-hmm. This weekend they started off with Slayer on Bazaar, Live Fire, Recharge. Those are the three maps that they've released. Yesterday, which was Saturday, they released Capture the Flag on Bazaar as well. And then they also did Stronghold on Live Fire and Recharge. And then today, as we're recording this show, they'll be unlocking Slayer on Bazaar, Behemoth, Live Fire, and Recharge. So they're adding a fourth map on there. Then Capture the Flag on Bazaar and Behemoth, and then Strongholds again on Live Fire and Recharge. Next weekend is going to be a lot of fun because that's when they're going to start introducing 12v12 big team battles. So they'll be having Capture the Flag on Fragmentation, which will be Friday. And then they'll add Total Control on Fragmentation, the same map. And then Sunday will be CTF, Total Control, and Slayer. So that's that. Next weekend is going to be a lot of fun if you like large groups, you know, because I mean, 12v12 is something that takes some getting used to, especially when you play Halo. Danny, I know you and me and Paris played this that infamous evening when we finally got to talk to Bonnie Ross again. But I mean, to see everything that they've given, to see the differences, even since last, you know, even since the last flight, lighting has been amazing. The detail has been fantastic. Sound has been something that is, for me, has been sorely missed. And in this game and in this iteration of the flights, it's really, really distinct. You can hear footsteps a lot clearer now, which I think is something that's always been missing me personally, because it's always, you know, loud, you know, you got grenades and live fire going all over the place. But now you can hear the footsteps crystal clear. And I don't know if maybe that's just more of a focus on audio during the flights and during the development of Infinite, or maybe it's just the quality of equipment that's available now to the public. But it's not just in the game where you're seeing the difference. The menu UI has been really, really clean. There have been some issues for me personally where the menus get locked up because of just, you know, too much input. I did get frozen like two or three times during the game, but I mean, it's a beta, you know, in this instance, I'm not expecting a faultless experience. I do expect some bugs because that's what this whole experience is all about, is finding those tricky bugs and then ultimately reporting them. Because if you don't report these bugs, they don't get fixed, right? And it makes sense that don't think that because, oh, there's other people playing that's good, you know, that, and they can report it, that it won't make a difference. Everybody's input counts. And if as many people have been complaining about what they've seen in Halo, you know, recently, use that opportunity to voice your opinions because they're listening. If anything, this is the time now where they have more eyes and more ears listening to the people, listening to players about what's wrong with Halo Infinite. You know, I don't want to, I want to step away from the whole, you know, what happened a year ago with Craig. But the differences are extremely stark. Like if you just look at the detail in game of just the handling of the BR, you just look at, like, don't even look at the guns, look at the glove. If you look at, because in last year's demo, like, you saw no details on the gloves, where now it's like you can see like hexes and you can see details in the glove that you didn't see last year. So what they've been doing with Slipspace, they're in, you know, the engine has been fantastic. So if you've had a chance to play it, please look us up, join us. I mean, if not this weekend, obviously if you're watching live on Twitch, you can join us, you know, hopefully this weekend. If not, look for it next weekend, because definitely be playing some more.
Yeah. You know what I would like to do next week? They're releasing a big team battle. I would like to get the community together, all of us. It could be on a Friday or a Saturday, and try it out for a couple hours, man. Us playing, man, multiplayer. I think it will be awesome, man. Now, I've been traveling, so I know they've been 343 did like a live stream and it talked about the stuff that we're gonna get to see during the beta. Did they mention how big and how many players are going to be playing for multiplayer for big team battle? They mentioned the numbers or no? It was always going to be kind of similar to the same from previous.
You figure it's 12 versus 12, right? Mm-hmm. But as far as live numbers, like numbers of people hitting the servers, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I can imagine just seeing my social media timeline flooded with Halo Infinite comments and just, you know, videos, and I mean people using the grapple shot to catch grenades in the air, people bouncing, using the repulsor to either bounce shot and then, you know, no scoping people, or using the bounce shot to deflect, using the repulsor to deflect rockets as they come in. Look, I'm almost, I'll be 48 in 2 months. I don't have the reflexes for this.
That's too much.
seeing the stuff that people have been able to pull off in this game has been straight nasty. It's amazing and it's fun. It's enjoyable. Like if I were to watch stuff like that and to see something like that happen to me, you just give it up. You just like, all right, you just got to give them the respect, because to be able to pull that off, something like that is just insane.
Yeah.
Part of it is probably luck, but I mean, still, it's still remarkable.
Did 343 added unlock the season where you could, they have like a fake money for you to like change your character?
So if,
you can still do that for this one, for this flight?
There's two parts. So they give you enough bonus points in the game to actually unlock the battle pass, which allows you to go through and hit the different things. But it's still based on in-game experience. So the more you play, the longer you play during these sessions, the more you can customize and make your Spartan more bespoke and more you. I've replaced my arms with robot arms. I replaced my legs with robot legs.
That's
and
cool.
Different colors and stuff like that. But you get different armor pieces. Like you can change your chest armor. You can change the helmet. The question will be if that translates to next week's flight, because that would be cool to be able to see that continuation of your battle pass. Whether you actually get to translate that at the end of all the flights, going live into the thing and maybe carry that over. Who knows? I think it would make more sense to just scrap everything, start from zero, so everybody starts from zero at the same time. But we'll see what happens.
And how about the leveling your account? Like is a little bit different or the same? Or because again, I haven't played this since the last flight, so I can't quite remember exactly. Is it going to be the same, or they made some changes with that, or what?
Well, depends on what you're asking, right? For me personally, I've been able to, like I said, change like the physical appearance of my arms. That's no longer like, you know, a Spartan arm. They look like robots. It almost looks like Titanfall for all intents and purposes. But from what are you asking though? No.
Meaning the leveling, because I know there was a controversy where people said that in order for you to upgrade to level up, you have to do certain challenges. It's not like the typical multiplayer from back then where you just play, you win, you get some stats.
Well,
did they make some changes? Is it going to be like that? Because that was the controversy I got to see online on Twitter. People were like, I don't like that way that the only way you could level up is just by doing challenges.
Well, I mean, you think of the Battle Pass system in general, regardless of whether you're playing this, you're playing Rainbow Six, you're playing Halo or whatever, you get more XP for completing the challenges, you know, and depending on the challenges that are given to you, you know, whether it's get a shotgun shot, you know, a shotgun kill, get a headshot with a commando, or what have you, those will give you more bonus points to use towards the customization or towards leveling up your, you know, your battle pass. And that's no different than in Halo Infinite than it is in every other game that offers a battle pass. Yes, you do get XP for playing the game. You get more XP if you win. You get more XP if you get more kills. But yes, you're going to get more. You'll have an opportunity to level up more if you participate in the meta, which is going through and completing these challenges. So you get more XP, and you know, you at the end of the day, you get to, you know, you get to customize your player more, but it doesn't give you a bigger benefit towards in-game play. Like, you know, it doesn't boost your ADR, or it doesn't improve the way you play. It doesn't give you an advantage over anybody else. It's just a cosmetic thing.
Okay, good. Good to know. But remember, everyone, next week, they're adding Big Team Battle. We don't know exactly what day, but I would love to play with our community. So make sure to go to Discord. We probably set something up there, right, Pete? We'll talk to Arctic and everybody there on Discord, and we'll figure something out, because I would love to do that and play with everybody, man. That would be awesome, man.
Yep, so, for sure.
Yeah, so just let us know. Another thing I want to bring up, because I didn't post this, the topics, Pete. And I don't know if you got to see this, because, again, I was traveling. There was an announcement from the developers that are working on Perfect Dark that they're partnering with Crystal Dynamics to also help them work on this project. Again, early stages and everything. So there's been controversy. Some people are really happy about it. Some are worried about this, because this is supposed to be a quadruple A studio, right? That Xbox was going to invest a lot of money into this. But if it's like that, then why are they getting support, or why they're partnering with Crystal Dynamics to do this? Now, here's the thing that I want to mention. There's a lot of games that we played that behind the scenes, again, under NDA, other studios will help the main studio to work on games. There's a couple that I know, which I'm not going to mention because, again, it's under NDA. But there's some that we do know, like, for example, Division. There was multiple studios that worked on that game. But it was all from the Ubisoft umbrella. And there's some that a company like Microsoft will hire another company to work on that title. Like, for example, I think it was the Master Chief Collection, even though it wasn't 100% perfect, they hired another studio to work on that. Or, for example, another game like The Witcher 3 that is on Nintendo Switch, they hired another studio to work on that because CD Projekt Red was working on another project, like things like that. That happens all the time. Now, another thing I have to mention, the pandemic really changed a lot of things. So I don't know if that's also one of the reasons why Microsoft decided to partner with Crystal Dynamics for Perfect Dark. But I'm not worried. I'm more of like a wait and see. We can't just diss the game without even seeing the final product. Once I see the final product, then I'll say my opinion. But as of right now, I'm not worried, because look, I love Crystal Dynamics with the Tomb Raider series. Not a big fan of what they did with Avengers, Marvel Avengers. But Tomb Raider was an amazing game. That was amazing, amazing. All three of them was really, really, really good. So that's the part that I'm like, I'm excited about it, you know. But again, it's a wait and see situation for me. How about you, Pete? Do you feel like you should be worried about this? Do you think everything is going to be good, or it's a wait and see situation for you?
It's a wait and see, but people have to understand as well that the initiative is headed by Daryl Gallagher, who spent 10 years at Crystal Dynamics. So he, if anybody, understands A, game development. It's not like he's reaching out for help because he doesn't know what's going on. But he's also reaching out to people who he's worked with in the past, specifically Tomb Raider, obviously. You know, and you've got such a horde of talent under that Crystal Dynamics roof. You have people from BioWare, Sony Santa Monica, Blizzard. And so I think this shows more maturity that they're reaching out for somebody for help versus thinking, you know what, we're going to struggle and force it regardless under our banner just because it's the initiative and just because it's supposed to be, you know, it's just because it's, you know, it's what, 70 people at the initiative, I think is what the number was, or 70 or 80 people in this brand new studio. Look, they're a new studio. You got new groups of people having to work with each other or work together in a collaborative environment. And if you don't reach out for help now, you're going to have the same issue that we saw last year when 343 tried to drop us, you know, Craig the Brute on Halo. It looked poor and the reception wasn't as good as it is. Obviously, you see what happened now, right? Yeah. They brought in Joe Staten with Microsoft and to make Halo look and feel and play the way it's expected to and the way we saw it. So to see... you know, to see the initiative turn around and say, you know what, we need help now. It's better to do it now before everything is in place, and get that help and get everything done, you know, early on, as opposed to reaching out last minute and then and then it looks worse on you.
Yeah.
Do I think it's a bad idea?
No, I don't see that bad.
Do we have a place to speak on? We haven't seen anything. So why should we? What gives us the green light to crap on a project without having seen anything outside of a demo trailer, right? A CGI demo trailer with no gameplay. Mm-hmm. Let them put something out first before we can complain about it. And if a year from now they come out and say, okay, here's the new gameplay footage of Perfect Dark, and it looks like crap then, okay, they deserve it. But until that happens, let's see it first before we start, you know, poo-pooing on things.
Yeah, I think people are panicking too much, man. Like sure. I said, just wait and see, man. Wait and see. And honestly, it's good for them to be open right now and talk about this as like, hey, we're partnering, because there's games that we played, and I heard this from a lot of people behind the scenes, that other studios have worked on, but they can't talk about it that they worked on it. It's like super on the low. They only will promote the main studio that work on that game. We've seen that multiple times. But guess what? They're being open about it, and they're not seeing it now in the early stages of the game and saying, look, we're partnering with Crystal Dynamics. That's awesome. Look, there's games like God of War, Ragnarok. There's multiple studios working on that game. Do you know that? That's multiple studios working on that. Nobody talks about that. You know what I'm saying? And I love Santa Monica Studios. I love their games, and I know it's going to be good. You know what I'm saying? So, again, it's a wait-and-see situation, man. Wait and see. And they're being really open about it, announcing it that they're partnering with other people. So I think that – well, other companies. I think that's awesome. I think that's really good. So I just want to say that very, very quick, because I know this was like the big thing for the past couple of days. But one thing that happened – When I was in New York City was Nintendo Direct. Did you got to see Nintendo Direct, Pete, at all? I couldn't see it live.
I watched part of it. I watched in bits and pieces, right? Okay. So just, I'm not the biggest Nintendo fan, but
I know.
But I did give it the opportunity. I did watch it, so in bits and pieces to make sure I got all of it. So I do have some comments and some things that I wanted.
Which one you want to start first? Because you want to start with the games?
Let's start off with the disappointments.
Yes.
And then we'll go into the positives, right? Start off low and they'll go high, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so first and foremost, who did this casting?
For the movie.
I have to get that off my chest. This whole Mario movie, I didn't ask for a Mario movie. I don't know if anybody did, but to see this, the casting that, Chris Pratt, really?
Chris Pratt, Mario? Yeah, that was a shock to me. I don't know why. I can't picture him as Mario at all. Like, and why him? There's so many other people that probably could do a better job, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Again, this might be also another wait and see moment, but but Nintendo was okay with it. That's the thing that I'm kind of like, huh? Is there something that we don't know that they've seen that they decided that this would be a perfect thing, or what? What you think?
I don't know. I mean, the only, I think, one or two people that I might be okay with was Jack Black as Bowser.
I think that's a great choice. Great choice.
I don't know about Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, but I will say Keegan-Michael Key is the voice of Toad. I'm not so certain about that.
Yeah, that was
seeing
a little weird.
Somebody, I can't remember where it was that I saw it, but somebody put the Aaron, the skit, but with Toad's voice, and had me dying of laughter. again, Chris Pratt as Mario, Anya Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach.
You know what? I'm okay with that choice. I think that's okay. It's not that, we don't know. Like, I think she's very talented. Actually, you know, she's from Miami, from the 305.
Really?
Yeah, she's from 305.
Did not know. Did not know that. But
she went to school over there for nice. College, also over there too.
Very nice. Very nice. But again, Chris Pratt is Mario. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of, again, there's something that they know that we don't. We'll see. But I'm curious to see. The movie comes out next year, 2022, holiday of next year. So we'll see. We'll see. Now, there was other announcements too. They finally showed Bayonetta 3, and now with an official year date. So not the official release date, but 2022 also is coming out next year. So that's really cool. I'm excited. I'm a huge Bayonetta fan. Huge, huge fan. So I can't wait to try that out. Also, of course, they showed some other games, you know, updates like for Mario Golf. They also showed a new Kirby game, Kirby the Forgotten Land. It's funny because I was watching this with Ree, and she was like, somebody posted this on Twitter saying it looks like The Last of Us, but Kirby style, because everything is like destroyed, you know, this stuff. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, man, you know, I never thought about that. That's funny. Another DLC for Monster Hunter Rise that's coming out too. They show a couple of things. I'm like, all right. Oh, remake of ActRaiser. I don't know if you ever played that from back in the days. Yes. Dude, I'm a huge fan of that game. And actually, right after this, I'm probably going to download it. I'm going to try it out.
I was going to say, if there was the highlights for me was ActRaiser Renaissance, which obviously as soon as they talked about it, boom, it went live. I knew for you Bayonetta 3 was going to be a highlight, right? That's one of your favorite games. That's one of your favorite franchises. Seeing the announcement for Splatoon 3 was like, oh, there's a return of the mammalians as one of the character choices. Metroid Dread caught me by surprise. I was not expecting that one also.
You know that's coming out like in a couple of weeks, right?
I know.
I know. B is not a huge Nintendo fan, but I had to. That's just for first time playing.
I give them credit. This one was a little bit more, you know, I was actually a little bit more surprised for this one.
Yeah.
And the one that I didn't think was going to catch me as being excited is I didn't think I needed it, but I don't know, Chocobo GP.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that game.
I don't know, man.
Everybody's trying. Every company wanted to do this whole Mario Kart thing. You know, Sega has done it. But now Chocobo from Square? I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
It looks a little fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody needs a little silliness in their gaming. And this just might be it for me.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, this episode is sponsored by Namecheap, who is offering all Gamertag Radio listeners an exclusive deal. Yes, guys, an exclusive deal. Get a .live domain name today for only $1.99. .live is the perfect domain and brand name for gamers, live streamers, and esports players. Seamlessly redirect your live streams to Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, or any streaming platform. Promote your .live domain name in your bio, social posts, even live shoutouts, and stream chats and grow your fan base today. But if .live is not for you, Namecheap got another offer for anyone who is thinking about starting a new website. All GTR radio listeners can get 30% off any premium domain name, including .com and other popular extensions. To access either of the deals, go to Namecheap.com, select non-premium domain name, and enter the code GTR in the promo box at checkout. Now, you want to know more? What's Namecheap? Namecheap is the world's second largest domain register and a top service provider for everything you need to launch an amazing website. Namecheap has been an industry leader for more than 20 years. Their mission is to make the internet accessible, affordable for everyone. Namecheap also offers hundreds of domain extensions from traditional, .com, and .net to even .gg and .live, which has become a go-to for many gamers and streamers. So again, it's about to take action here, GTR listeners. Namecheap is offering Gamertag radio listeners a .live domain for only $1.99. The original price is $20.88, plus 30% off any non-premium domain name for its first year of registration. Their offer cannot be combined with any existing sales, but can overdrive any current sale if its discount is less than 30%. So get your domain name right now to get your .live domain name for only $1.99 or enjoy 30% off from any non-premium domain. Go to Namecheap.com and search for your desired domain and use the code GTR at checkout. We'd like to thank Namecheap for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Another thing that I want to talk about, Pete, Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis now is going to be available part of the Nintendo Switch Online, where you can play these games as long as you're a subscriber. And I don't care about the controllers. I know that's going to be available. It's like $50. I don't care about that. But I'm happy to see that we could get to play these games, man. So imagine playing a game multiplayer of Star Fox 64. You could play that four players online. You could play also Mario Kart 64 online. That's really, really cool. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited. And I hope, I don't know if Nintendo will pull this off, but man, I hope to God we'll get to play like a game like GoldenEye or maybe some of the wrestling games, you know, from WWF No Mercy from back in the days that is also released on Nintendo 64. If they could put that game online, I'm excited. I can't wait. I love that game so much. That, to me, is one of my favorite wrestling games ever made, period. It was No Mercy. It's so, so good. So, we'll see. But what are your thoughts about that, Pete? You, Nintendo 64, Sega Genesis? I'm very surprised about Sega Genesis, though. But go ahead.
I was surprised that they brought that out, like that there was going to be a merging of, at one point, was the two biggest gaming companies in the world, right? And then for them to be able to say, you know what, Sega doesn't have a platform, so I think this is good for them to be able to have a launch lineup again. But the Switch Online Plus Expansion Pass thing gives me kind of a reason for pause because there's no price on there's no price for this. Mm-hmm. And splitting up the offerings kind of gives me a greedy vibe from Nintendo.
Yeah.
And the thing that and it's unfortunate is that it's Nintendo and everybody will give it a pass.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but if Sony or Xbox did this, there'd be torches and pitchforks all over social media.
All over the place. But here's the thing. Yeah. Right now, you could get the Nintendo Switch Online for $20. How much this service should go up just to get the Nintendo 64? Should it go at least 30? I think $30 is reasonable. Just an extra $10.
An extra $10. An extra 10, maybe even 15, depending on what else they're going to give it.
Yeah,
in additional content, mm-hmm. I guess maybe $10 or $15 extra. But again, that's something that they have to continue to iterate and continue to develop and give more to.
Yeah, right?
If this is just an initial money grab, it's going to be disappointing at best, right? But if this is something that they can continue to feed and give more and more content, mm-hmm. then will you be happy paying $30-$35 for this, for the additional content, or if it's just a one-time shot?
I mean, but it's not a month, it's a year.
I know. I get that.
I don't mind $30 a year. I don't mind. I play a lot of Nintendo Switch games, like all the time. So paying $30 and I could play also Nintendo 64 games and also Sega Genesis plus Super Nintendo and Nintendo games, I'm all in. I don't care paying it. I really don't care much about the online service for Nintendo Switch. Has been kind of meh. But playing those old games, it's like me with Xbox Game Pass. It's the same exact thing. You know, I play that a lot. So I don't mind paying it at all. I don't mind at all.
Are you going to get the new controllers?
No, I'm not getting that. That to me is a waste of money. I will not. Because honestly, let's keep it real. The Nintendo 64 controller is one of the worst controllers I ever played in my life. That controller is pretty bad. I don't know if people really like that controller. I hate it. I always hated that controller.
I was never a fan.
Never. Super Nintendo controller, all-time favorite from Super Nintendo. From Nintendo, all-time favorite. GameCube is also another one that I was not a fan of that controller. Oof. That was rough. That was rough. So, but yeah, I'm not going to buy that. And I'm definitely not buying the Sega Genesis controller. But look, there's going to be people that just love those controllers, they're going to buy it. Hey, more power to you, but I'm not buying that. I'd rather stick with my Nintendo Switch controllers. I have the Pro controller. I love that one a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, anything else, Pete, from the Nintendo Direct? I know it was a lot of other things, but we're talking about like the main major announcements, and that's about it.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't talk about the Animal Crossing, considering our argument about Tom Nook. Let's see, what else was there? Super Smash Brothers final DLC fighter.
I wonder who is going to be the last fighter. That's a great question. And also, speaking of Animal Crossing, they're going to have their own Animal Crossing Direct next month.
Yep, October 5th.
October 5th. Yeah. So there you go. There you go. There you go. All right. I think we're good with the Nintendo Direct impressions about it. And I think we should go with fan mail, Pete. Ready for fan mail? And it's time for fan mail. Wait, Pete. Let me do this again. And then you do it. All right. Here it goes. It's time for fan mail. Now it's your turn.
Fan mail.
There you go. Awesome.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So we have two voice messages here. We're going to play it. I think these are really good. But remember, guys, if you would like to be part of our family discussion or segment, send us questions. Call us 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. What the hell was that? I heard something. Don't worry about it. I heard something on my end. Okay, so here goes. We're going to play a first voice message.
Danny, Pete, and Paris, do you think it's time to start boycotting games and vocally talking about these companies that are shredding evidence and or vetting their own companies to make sure they're not privy to lawsuits, i.e. Activision Blizzard has been sued by the state of California because the state of California believes they are doing these sort of practices? Period. I don't see a lot of podcasts talking about political outcomes. Is it because podcasts are afraid of not getting exclusive game access?
Okay. A couple of things I want to say about this. Honestly, I've been getting a lot of messages about this of other creators saying, hey, Danny, one person actually hit me up like a couple of days ago on Twitter asking me, look, Danny, I'm excited for Call of Duty. I want to talk about it, but I'm afraid that people are going to say something because of everything that's been going on with Activision and Blizzard and so on. This happened also last year with Ubisoft. You remember, Pete, that was like a big thing. And here's the thing. We have a lot of friends, and there's a lot of people that are also developers. That's their job, to work on these games, and they have nothing to do with all the stuff that's been going on. For example, we have friends that worked on the new Call of Duty game, Vanguard, that's coming out in November. And I'm very excited, very, very excited. I'm going to support my friends that worked on that game. There's people that worked on other games that's from Activision Blizzard that they are afraid to say something online because of everything that's been going on. And that's not fair to them. They've been working on these product these games for years. For years, that's not their fault. So it's okay if you would like to support. Now, for the higher-ups, and if you want to be vocal about it. And say what you have to say. But remember, guys, there's another group of people that have nothing to do with this. Whatever that's been going on behind the scenes, it's not their fault. It's the fault of the higher-ups, that leadership, there's stuff that's going on behind the scenes. You get what I'm saying? So I know it's a very complicated issue, but you could be vocal and still support those that have been working on these games for years, man. Because imagine working on the game for four or five years. This thing is going on. Now I can't support you because of everything that's been going on. That's not your fault at all. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to say that because we have a lot of mutual friends that work over there, and I'm always there to support them all the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
What about you, Pete?
100% agree. So I think it makes sense to explain the lawsuit.
Yes.
I don't think the caller, thank you, by the way, for calling and leaving the message, didn't really explain it well. So California's Department of Fair Employment and Housing and the SEC are suing Activision Blizzard for two separate things. And it's about claims of sexual harassment and discrimination, right? According to the lawsuit, women are allegedly inconsistently offered lower compensation, less opportunities, and less lucrative job assignments in the industry or in the company, and often have to work harder and longer just to earn equal promotional opportunities. I believe one female employee whose title generated significantly more money and ran almost twice as many campaigns as her male counterpart was repeatedly overlooked and passed over for promotion in favor of her coworker who was a male. And on top of that, you have the horrific BlizzCon Cosby Suite article that highlighted a former senior creative director's harassment of multiple, not just staffers, but attendees at BlizzCon, right? He's no longer there as a result of being outed. Considering it's made major headline news, including New York Times and Bloomberg, CNN, I don't think it's been brushed under the table per se, but you have to understand that lawsuits like this do take time. You've got legal discovery, depositions, et cetera, before you even get to the courtroom. And not to mention, these aren't the only lawsuits that you see out there considering the video game industry. You've got Epic Games versus Apple, which is huge right now. You've got the Music Publishers Association suing Roblox for over $200 million for copyright infringement. You've got Bethesda and Sony both facing class action lawsuits for their own thing. But to answer your question directly, boycotting or choosing not to support a company does hit them directly where big companies feel it in their pockets. But it takes constant pressure. And it's not just a 1 to 2 week social media campaign that we could do calling them out. While you may not hear it on podcasts as often, and as I mentioned before, there's been articles and segments on talk shows talking about this that hit a much larger groups of people. And as far as being concerned about the impact on getting free games or exposure, that's solely up to the creators. As Danny said, we support our friends in the industry and we need to place the blame where it belongs. But we also choose to speak on subjects when and where it matters. And also think it's more responsible to speak up when we have a better understanding of the full story rather than just speak up because it's hot on Twitter. So that's my stance on it. Again, we support our friends in the industry, the ones that are working day to day in the trenches, whether it's on development, whether it's in creative, whether it's in social media or PR or communication, because those are the folks that we interact with on a more regular basis. The folks that are up in the suits or in the ivory tower, as I like to call it, those are the people we don't really interact with, but those are the ones that set precedents. Those are the ones that set the rules by which the rest of them fall under. And if they're not doing what they need to do to support women in the industry and preventing this glass ceiling from occurring or allowing egregious behavior like we saw, which I'm not going to give his name out, but you can find it, this senior creative director for sexual harassment. Those are the ones that need to be put at blame, not the folks that are, the day-to-day folks that are working.
Yeah. Yeah. Great answer, Pete. And thank you for sending us the question. Let's go to the next question here. Let's go.
What's up, Gamertag Radio? It's your boy Space Rat at it again. Hope you're having a great day, Danny, Pete, and Paris. So I want to know, when people think of AAA and AA games, they think of big developers that have lots of people working on the game. But when people think of indie games, they think of a small amount of people working on the games, you know? But with indies right now killing it, do you think they deserve their own title, like a indie AAA or indie AA games? Or do you think it should stay as it is, just as indie games? Because right now, the indie games are killing it, you know? And they're doing such a big part for gaming. And I just want to know what y'all think about this whole thing.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Space Rat, for sending us that question. That's a great question, honestly. Here's the thing. I was actually talking to Rhea about that. Because, she also used to do marketing for Ori and Halo and a couple other games there for Xbox. And see, with Ori to me is still considered indie, but it's like a high-end indie because there's now marketing, they're doing events, they're doing a lot of things that usually a lot of the indie games don't get. So another game is like that too, that I can think of top of the head right now is Cuphead is another one, right? Something like that. But when you see a game that is a lot smaller that doesn't get a push like that, I don't see them as like a high-end indie game. Do you see this the same thing, Pete? Do you have a new name to call it? Will you call it high-end? Will you call it, indie AA? Indie AAA or something like that? Like, what will you call an indie game that has like a bigger budget?
I would still call it an indie. I would still give it an indie. I think by adding more segmentation or segregation of developers like this, it's unfair, right? It's difficult enough to get games published, whether you're AA, AAA, or indie or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's even more so by indie developers, right? They have to go the extra mile or two just to get noticed sometimes. And then they're only making a small percentage. God help them if they're not even, reading the contract completely and finding the out clauses that publishers will throw in there to prevent them from, or actually force them to lose ownership of the title. If they're unable to complete the game, and yes, it's under contract, but if they're unable to complete it for whatever reason, they could lose everything associated, all the work that they've put into the title, and then be forced to pay back any monies. Because they have such large, these publishers have such large quantities of money and legal teams to fight these things, where in a lot of cases, indie developers are only one, two, or three people, right? I mean, there's one of these games that we're looking forward to seeing from Microsoft. It's developed by one person, right? That's
oh my God, yeah. Which one is, what's the name of it?
Not Bright Lives. They're the platform you do. Bright Something Memory, I don't know, whatever. But a game like that is only one person, right? So that person has to devote their entire life, has devoted their entire life to getting this one little title out, and it makes it that much more difficult to get noticed. I mean, Hyperloop was the game that you and I played.
Oh, the music one, the one that's like the
the with the accessible controller that we played it at E3 like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
that was only one person, right? So I think by adding additional classifications, you just add more division into an already difficult environment. So I think it's best to just leave it as is. If they're an indie developer, just leave them as an indie. It gives them an opportunity to, I think it makes it more difficult if you add more classifications or division to it. So that's my personal opinion.
Yeah. You know what? Go and support indie games, man. That's a lot of great indie games. Actually, this year, I think, has been the best year when it comes to the releases of indie games. There's so many great indie games, so many on all platforms. So if you have an opportunity, make sure to support them. You know what I'm saying? It's been good. I love that. Love it. And plus, indie developers always doing something new that the major studios are not doing. And when it's become popular, then you see the major studios copying them. You know what I'm saying? So just want to say that very quick. All right, so that's it for fan mail. Make sure to send us more questions. We have a lot of episodes coming up. Send us more questions. All right. Anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up?
No. Just once again, congrats to you and Rihanna on your engagement.
Thank you.
Congrats on everything, you know, all your successes that you saw hosting playing Hades and winning again on the Xbox Twitch channel, obviously being on the Billboard, that's huge as well. And congrats as well to Paris on all his successes this year and watching his team likely win again today.
Against
the Rams.
Oh, and by the way, shout out to Elgato, because Pete, you got products from Elgato, man. Shout out. Yeah, that was really cool. What was it they sent to you, man? For those that don't know.
So
I know you posted on Twitter.
I posted it on Twitter, but using the ring light, as you can see, obviously the video is a little bit better using the new Elgato face cam. Fantastic. It's much better than the old Logitech camera that I was using previously. Mm-hmm. So shout out to them. They also sent me the Wave XLR. I have not started using it because I have some configuration issues. So I have to keep going back and forth. I wanted to make sure that we were able to record on time today. So we'll probably go back to playing with it sometime tomorrow.
Awesome.
Again, shout out to Elgato. Thanks again for sending this stuff out. And looking forward to using more of their stuff. I'm a big fan of their stuff already. Having a bunch of their stuff in the past, whether it's the green screen, the first generation Stream Deck, love their stuff. So again, it's always a privilege to have them send us stuff. So thank you.
No, thanks a lot to Elgato for supporting the whole GTR crew. They sent us products all the time. So really, really cool. Also, another thing before we wrap it up, International Podcast Day is happening this Thursday, September 30th. So make sure to support your favorite podcast, mention it on Twitter, talk about it, promote them. That would be awesome if you can. But I'm going to have an exclusive session only on Bright, and it's going to be about how to get paid podcasting. So there's a couple of things that I want to mention this because it's very, very important. One is I'm going to have a friend that he's in the industry. He does a lot of sales for indie podcast shows where him and his team will get advertisements for different shows. Doesn't matter, big or small. And he's going to be on my session. We're going to talk about that. So if you have questions, make sure to write it down. Also, I'm not going to post this publicly on Twitter or anything like that, but I'm going to mention it in a podcast. I'm also going to have some giveaways. I'm not going to say who it is, who hooked it up, but there's going to be multiple stuff that I'm giving away. That's all I will say. Make sure to go over there. It's going to be really cool. And at the same time, let's celebrate International Podcast Day, man. It's going to be a great year. There's more shows more than ever, and people are curious to see, like, how can they get paid when it comes to podcasting. So I'm going to talk about that, how to create media kits, all that stuff. Highly recommend it, exclusively only on Bright. So go to brightlive.com and search for Danny Pena. I'm there. Or go to the description of this episode. There's a link there where you could just click it, and you could reserve your spot, and get ready. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. So we're going to wrap it up here, man. Everyone, thank you for watching or listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1166. We'll be back later this week with another episode. So stay tuned. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.